Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most out of your midlife. Interesting topic.
It sure is. And hopefully we'll finish it.
Oh, hopefully we will. For listeners, it's about unfinished business. And when I think about unfinished business at midlife, very different than unfinished business when we're in our 20s, right? And planning out our lives. I think of it kind of as this quiet drawer in my life right now where there may be some things undone, unlived, unspoken, dreams that haven't been fulfilled, words that haven't been said. And thinking about what I want to do with that.
So what kind of thing would be in your bucket of things that have been unlived?
So unlived to me, so talking about unlived, undone, and unsaid or unspoken, unlived and undone can kind of overlap a little bit. But for me, unlived, I think about living and what makes me like feel like I'm living in the moment, like feeling the rain on my face. So it's not really, it's not a travel bucket list. It's nothing like that. It's more about emotions. It's about feelings. It's about being able to live passionately and have all those emotions stirred in me, even sorrow, even grief. You know, before I came in today, a song came on the radio and I sat there fighting back the tears.
Oh, wow.
And it was a song that reminded me, because this person reminded me of this song, actually spoke about this song one time in a conversation. We both know this person. Mm-hmm. And he was a photographer and he was a mentor for me on the very beginning of my journey. And I'm grieving him. But after listening to that song and fighting back the tears that he's not here anymore, I had such appreciation for having lived those moments with him and that time and that friendship that it actually stirred those emotions.
Interesting.
So living to me and unlived, I don't want to leave emotions and feelings of the human experience behind. So I want to seek that out more than going and visiting different corners of the earth. That's important too.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's what unlived is to me. It's more of that. I know it's unusual. Most people, I think, would have a whole different list, but that's mine.
I mean, I think going to the far corners of the earth or having different physical experiences or life experiences helps trigger those emotions. Mm-hmm. So you could see that there's a mm-hmm. connection with them. It's interesting for me because we talked a little bit about this. I don't feel that there's anything, even from an emotional perspective, in my life that's unlived. But I think that's partly because at an earlier point in my midlife, mm-hmm. so when I was still in my late 40s, had kids at home, there was like this moment where I kind of had an epiphany. And it came from, I've always been the person that manages the finances in our house. And that's because we just decided early on, because I do the grocery shopping and I was the person responsible for getting the kids all their activities.
Right.
That made more sense for me to have the power of the purse. And we had priorities, right? Save for retirement, save for the kids to go to college, you know, save for this, save for that, right? And there was a point one day where my husband came home and he said, you know, we never do any fun vacations. And I was like, well, that's because we can't really afford it. We're putting money in the retirement account. We're putting money in the college account. We have to control the day-to-day expenses. He's like, I know, but it would just be fun to do a really good vacation. And I thought about that and I thought, it's not about the vacation. It's not about where we go. It's that as a family, having a shared experience, it creates so many ripple effects in the future mm-hmm. for how we bonded with our children, how we relate to them, how we get to know them as individual people.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, you know what? We're going to have a really great vacation this year. And that was the first year that we went to France and we took a great vacation. And after that, I really started focusing more on what are the experiences we're having that are allowing us to feel our life is richer. And those experiences usually involve other people. And they, a lot of them were family, but some involve friends.
Right.
But because of that, I kind of feel like my tank is really quite full in that way. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. My tank is full, too. When I talk about those unlived emotions, it's not that I haven't experienced them. I want to have them more. Mm. I want to live to the fullest. So, and you talking about the family vacations, I love that too, but it goes back to what it evokes in us.
Exactly.
It is the emotion. It is the connection. Like at the end of the day, the most important thing in my life are the connections that I have with people. I want to live and I want to feel that. I don't want that to be quiet. I never have. I think that's why I went into nursing too. It's because I do like the realm of emotion, from sadness to happiness, from death to birth. I mean, all of it, mm-hmm. I think, is so important. I live it. So it's not that it's unlived. I want more. One thing that is unlived, though, which I think is interesting to talk about, is the things that might never be lived. And I know this to be very true. I'm 58 years old. This is not going to be lived. I have two boys. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I always, maybe because I'm one of three girls and there's a boy, I always thought I'd have girls. I will never have a daughter. That is going to be unlived. Mm-hmm. Am I sad about that? I'm not sad about that. I just always thought that I would be a girl mom at some point. What that unlived piece has done for me is I honestly think much greater than having a daughter. You know a lot of the people and family in my life because I'm around them. I spend quality time with them. I love them. And the females. So I love my boys. I would never change that. But my niece-in-law, Marcy, my second cousins that are also goddaughters, Courtney and Katie and sweet Abby, I have women in my life that I would not have in the same way if I had a daughter, because I'd be pouring it all into my daughter.
Well, and more than just your family. I mean, you were, you know, my daughter.
Oh, that's your daughter.
My daughter adores you.
Stealer.
And you know, just quick side note to that. I remember reading somewhere that one gift you can give your children is to allow them to have loving relationships with other adults. Mm-hmm. And I totally felt that for Lindsay with you.
Yeah.
Like you, that was
still
that.
Do.
And Carmen's daughter.
Yes.
So like you have spilled all that love and that, yeah, that, you know, woman to female child relationship in so many wonderful ways.
It's filled me up.
Yeah.
But that is an unlived piece is I won't have a daughter. But I think, and I say this often, the universe has its own wisdom. Mm-hmm. These things are for a reason. So I wouldn't change that. But it is an unlived piece, right?
What about from a spiritual perspective? Do you feel there's anything in your greater connection to the universe that is unlived or unexplored?
I think I'm living that now. So I grew up at the early years of my life as a Catholic. My mother's Roman Catholic. And we moved into a community in Arkansas from Sydney, Australia, listeners. Quite a change. And it was in a Seventh-day Adventist community that we got involved in their youth group. And so that religion also gave me some type of a moral compass. And then I married Episcopalian. So in the religious realm, I feel like I've lived and experienced that on different levels. I've let go of that a little bit. And find spirituality more within myself and within nature and with living a life where I can be a better person for others and for myself. So it's not unlived. It's being explored and lived now in a different way. So definitely more of a multifaceted way. Had you asked me that question 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, I probably would say I wanted to tap into a different type of spirituality that maybe was more along the lines of Buddhism or something like that. So somewhat unlived and living.
The reason I ask that is because I think one thing you and I have in common is, and you said something about this just a minute ago, life is lived more richly through and with other people. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's a spiritual component of that. I mean, I think we are supposed to be there for one another.
Yeah.
And in my also currently living bucket, I've just always had this feeling that there's something more I'm meant to do for other people. And I don't quite know what that is. I suspect at some point it will become apparent. But if it doesn't, maybe just the striving to understand that and therefore throwing myself in connection with other people is part of that, or maybe it's all of it. So quick little story, you know, and I've talked about this, listeners, on an earlier podcast when we talked about what's on our minds. I talked about my kindness earrings and how I got them.
Yep.
So the genesis of that was that I was photographing an event. Well, that same event was this past Friday night. And so I went again to offer my photography services. And during the night, this woman came up to me and she was with her little boy. And she said, "Do you remember me?" And honestly, I didn't. And she said, "Well, 3 years ago," which would have been the first year that I photographed the event, she said, "I was here with my little boy and I had just agreed to foster him." And she told me, she said, "You took a photograph of us, which I love and I cherish that photograph. And recently I decided to adopt him. And now I have that photograph because it's like the beginning of our relationship together on my bedside table. And I just wanted to let you know how much it means to me." To me, that's everything.
Gratitude.
And yeah, and that connectedness. Like, you do a small thing for someone, you have no idea how it rebounds.
It's true.
So to me, it was like, wow, someone did something very nice for me at that particular event. That's how I got my wonderful earrings. But also, I guess I had an influence over somebody else that I didn't even know about. And in a spiritual sense, that's what makes the world go round, right?
That is the magic.
Yeah,
it of is. Life. It is the magic. It's the sparkle. It's the glitter. And we've spoken about gratitude and how that trickles down. Even something coming from a dark place is gratitude for somebody else where they are able to see the light in that for themselves. It's true. You know, you talk about an unlived piece, like you feel like maybe there's more to do. And we've talked about that. And I feel like in my career, and I've spoken, I wanted to have babies and bake cookies. That was my number one. But I was a nurse. But I always felt like there was more for me to do. And I felt like that involved people and inspiration. I've been blessed to be one of those half full people. And I think that has benefits. And I think maybe there's some cons to that, too, in some ways, but mainly the pros. But I think that us doing this podcast is actually allowing me to live that unlived piece and to grow in a way that is very self-satisfying. The relationship that we have was strong. I value my friendship with you so much.
Ditto.
And I have other friends, of course. But when we talk about these topics and we talk about other people that might have areas of unlived or unsaid, not understanding gratitude or being inspired, I think we're doing that for other people. And I think that's going to fill both of us up. It fills us up, but I also think it's going to fill other people up as well. So I think that that would be what was unlived that I thought about I need to do more that maybe I'm doing now.
And, you know, life is a process. So as long as you keep the process rolling, even if it doesn't get completed, I mean, there's an end, right?
Right.
It's, to me, the goal is to just keep learning and growing and doing as we go.
I think if we ever felt like we accomplished everything, something might be a little wrong with us.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
I think unfinished business, unlived, undone, unsaid, not unsaid. That kind of haunts me to think about. But there probably are things that should be left unsaid. I think it's part of the human experience. I think that most people end their life having unfinished business. And I can see that in the unlived piece of me because I want to continue. Like I said, I mean, I want more of a lot. Yeah, I care deeply. It's just my makeup. And I want more of that, and it will end someday.
I think on the unfinished, you know, business, the unlived, the undone part, because I think you're right, those kind of are a similar, a little different.
It's a different, yeah.
A piece of that, it goes back to when we had Angie Seidenberg spoke, and she does wellness, emotional fitness.
Right.
We talked about that. And she had that chart, and she talked about figuring out what your values are mm-hmm. in different areas. I think everyone should take the time in midlife to do that and then figure out what it is, what steps you need to take, what actions you need to take to kind of help bring all the pieces of your pie chart in alignment.
Right.
Because then you won't be left with that feeling of, you know, hopefully no one's left with a feeling of regret at the end. I missed an opportunity to do something that would have fulfilled me. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I think of when I think about sort of unlived. Are you missing an opportunity to do something that fulfills you? And I don't feel that way, but it's because I made a conscious choice earlier to lean into that.
Yeah.
And I think people can do that.
Yeah.
They can stop and they can assess where they are, what's important to them in their physical health, in their emotional health, in their spiritual health, you know, in their relationships, and then figure out where things need to be tweaked to make the most of all of that.
Right. Well, we've both been fortunate with our families and our husbands and our life in general that has filled us up and let us live in such a wonderful way. Not that we haven't had challenges and hard things. We've lived in that too. I've definitely lived in that. And on the other side of it, and appreciate what I got from that. At the time, I wasn't very appreciative. But I think looking back, like you're talking about in a graft, it is important to kind of fill in those pieces. And those pieces that you live, that you love, do more of
that. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the only unlived piece, and I think if I spent more time, I'd probably think of more, is basically I thought it would have be a, you know, a mom to girls, and that's going to be unlived. But I actually feel like I ended up on the better side of things for me. Because relationships are so important, and I have some great relationships that came out of that unlived piece.
Right.
So undone looks a little different to me. It's things that I want to do and to understand better that I might not have done. I had a conversation with a friend about something that they felt was undone, and it was going to further their education beyond their first 4 years. That was an undone piece, whether they come back and circle back to that. Mine doesn't look like that so much, but I, as you know, my mother's from Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and my father is American, and my father is, he had three sisters. They were in Dar. So I have a lot of genetic and genealogy history from my father's side. Like I know the roots of my father, and therefore the roots of myself on my father's side. My mother's side is all in gray. Mm. And I want to know where I came from on my mother's side. So doing the genealogy on my mother's side is important to me. That's undone right now. Mm. I keep talking. I'm going to go to Scotland for 3 months. I'm going to sit in this. I'm going to do it. I want to know. I want to stand in the field of the Clan Buchanan where they fought for their land. That is undone for me right now. If I die tomorrow, is it going to make me cry on my deathbed? No, but it is an undone piece. So that's the first one I think of. Any like that for
well,
you?
Well, it's actually interesting because, you know, I'm trying to get Italian citizenship.
Oh, and you're taking Italian lessons.
Yeah, and I'm taking Italian lessons. And although I, as you know, because I've told you this, like I learned midway through like a year into Italian lessons that the Italian I'm learning would not have been the Italian my grandparents spoke because they spoke a dialect. But there is on my list one thing I do want to do, which is to go visit the three villages that my grandparents were from.
Mm.
And they're all in southern Italy, and they're all fairly small places off the beaten map, if you will. So it would actually be a little bit of an effort to get there. But I do want to do that. I think it is important to kind of connect with your roots. And on my side of the family, sort of like with your mom, the gray slate, I know a little bit about my grandparents, but like, what their lives were like is a mystery to me.
Yeah.
I'd like to actually see it. It's very different. My husband's family, like there's like been genealogy done forever. They know all their ancestors and where they're from and what they did. And I find that fascinating. But the reason I want to do it on my side is because I would like to give my children a complete package of what they're made of.
That's beautiful.
On both sides,
yeah.
You know?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's for me, but it's also for them.
Yeah. Well, there's that curiosity piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've talked about my mother's side a little bit. I mean, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, you've got one of
those. That's for another podcast.
Yes. We should do a podcast on that, just on that.
But yeah, it is interesting. What do you think if for people listening, if somebody were to do like the top 10 things that are undone, what do you think those things would be for most people?
That's really interesting. I actually think people are so different, right? Like, and I think that's actually an important thing. We all live very different lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think as humans, we fall into this thought that what I'm doing must be what other people are doing, or what I like must be what other people like. So I think it really can vary greatly. But I suspect that just like for us, what would probably be on most people's list is something having to do with relationships.
Yeah.
You know, undone connections, things that need to be fixed that may be broken. And maybe also something about a sense of heritage and connection to the past.
Right. I think so, too. And then I think there are those people that want to do sailing lessons, or they want to travel to a specific place.
Right. Specific experience.
Right.
Life experience.
I know several people. You're talking about the lady that you met and ran into again at the event. I know several people that on their undone list is to foster. That is important to them, or to do something more in the community. I also think a lot of undone in the professional realm of people is they have different things that they want to achieve on that. So I think that that would be undone, maybe at a younger age than what we're at, more of a checklist. I think some people think of it like a checklist.
Right.
I don't think of it as a checklist.
I think earlier in my life I did, and now I don't.
The wisdom.
Yeah, it is. It's something that comes with lived experience. Like you start to sort of look at, so for example, like if I had a checklist of things and I didn't check certain things off, I might feel anxiety about that. Oh my God, I said I was going to go to, you know, every continent in the world or every state in the United States, and I haven't done that. But the thing is, like what you don't do is usually replaced by something that you have done. And you have to kind of focus on appreciating the experiences that you have had.
Right.
Now, if you're not having any experiences because you're too afraid, or, you know, you haven't figured out a way to make it happen because of financial or time constraints, that's something you can lean into a little bit and try to work out. There's always a way.
Right.
Even if it's at a very simple level, there's always a way to enrich your life and have more experiences that relate to place, that relate to people. They just might not look the way you expect them to mm-hmm. look.
You know, I think one of the reasons I love doing this podcast and with you, it gives me so much self-reflection. And I'm hoping for people that listen as well, that they'll sit in it, they'll pause. Because thinking about unlived, undone, unsaid, if you don't sit in it, I don't think that we proactively do it.
Mm-hmm. Like you're absolutely right.
Like you were talking about that graph, the importance of that. And I hope from our podcast, people can sit even the smallest things that might feel unlived, but to sit and think of that, about those things and the undone things. It's how we move forward. It is the path forward in so many ways. And then it's also a piece of living intentionally. And when we think about these things, because living intentionally, I mean, just on the surface, like just skimming the top, is making sure that it is kind of a checklist of doing the things, living intentionally. But to think a little deeper about these other things has so much personal growth to it.
Exactly. So like, for example, at least how I'm taking what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you're living intentionally and you're like, oh, I want to travel. I want to travel more. I want to go to Europe. I want mm-hmm. to go here. Stop and think, what is it about that is intriguing to you? What do you think? How do you think that will fill your tank? And if you can't get to Europe, or you can't get to Antarctica, or wherever it is,
right.
What is something else that is like that, that's within your reach, that's achievable, that will fill your tank in the same way?
Yeah.
Is it that you want a richer experience of seeing nature? Is it that you want to go to a different culture and experience that? You can have those experiences more close at hand. And yeah, maybe it's not the same thing, but it will mimic the emotional response that you're looking for.
True, true. That's a good point. You know, the other piece to unfinished business, which probably might leave a lump in some people's throat, is the unsaid.
Yeah.
Unsaid. Wow. There's the unsaid that fills you up, and there's the unsaid that makes you cringe, could be cringeworthy. If I love you, believe me, you know it. I don't leave that unsaid. I haven't always been that way. But as we get older and experiences of, you know, losing people or like getting close to losing people with health challenges that they've had, it really resonates in a way that I think we build on that and let people know what they mean to us. So sometimes maybe it's just I love you, but to really let somebody know why, I try not to. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect, but I really try to sit in that. Other things that are left unsaid.
Some things are better left unsaid.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. And the ones that aren't, it takes vulnerability. Like you have to be so vulnerable to not only think about that, but to actually put that out there. Because that might invite conflict. You know, other things. I don't have a lot of that. I don't know that I have any of that. There is a situation in my life right now. All of us have situations in our lives. I have one right now where I haven't left anything unsaid. I actually said it, but had zero response. And the emotional toll of that, almost the emotional cruelty, really, has been really hard.
Well, unsaid kind of goes both ways, right? It's not just about what we say or don't say, what we choose to say or not say. It's also what people choose to say or not say to us. Yes. And there's nothing more hurtful than waiting for a response. And I know the situation you're talking about.
Horrific.
Yeah, it is. And you know that I also had a difficult situation with a friendship that imploded where I actually reached out to the person and said, we need to discuss this. And I was met with stone cold silence. And that, never having a chance to hear why are you responding this way? Why won't you talk to me? That is so hurtful. But that is something sometimes that you just have to accept. Sometimes you're not going to get the answer that you need or want. We talked a little bit about this yesterday when we were talking about this episode. There's a lot said about closure. You have to get closure when you have, you know, emotional or psychological wounds. You need closure. You know what? You don't need closure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't get closure and you need to be able to accept that and move on.
Right. I like the point that you said that unsaid, because I was thinking more of things that I have left unsaid, which is not a lot. Especially in this situation, I was able to say it, though it was in writing. But you're right. The unsaid from the other side, whether friend or like for me, family, it is horrific. And to be able to accept that and to think about that's their unsaid for whatever reason, and sorting out why. Maybe it's not my job to figure it out. It's right. Really on them to try and figure that out. But there is a lot of hurt. I listened to our resilience podcast this morning, and the resilience of coming back from something where you thought you had value to somebody or something and realizing, you know, how you valued something isn't how they valued it.
Yeah.
And it shows itself.
Right. Right. And it shows itself in that unspoken, you know, conversation that needs to be had that they won't have.
Yeah.
So, you know, holding on to whatever it is that's hurting them or upset them is more important to them than healing with you.
Right.
And that's just not a place I sit in. If I have an issue, I will try to resolve it. I think I'm pretty forthright.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said earlier, everyone is different. So much as I would want other people to respond to me the way I would respond, some people don't.
Right.
And they're not going to. Right. And you just have to be able to move on from that.
Yeah. You have so much empathy. I love that.
Thank you.
You do. You do. Well, and unsaid, I mean, also, I think that unsaid things can leave lead to regret.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can't unwind that. Like, time is gone and you weren't able to do that. So we're telling people to listen or think to themselves about things unlived. But I think unsaid, I mean, I told you that that's what would haunt me.
Yeah.
I try to not leave that. That's the most important of the three probably to me, to leave not undone. Not undone would be the unsaid.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right. And I would suggest to listeners, like, if you have someone in your life that you need to say something to, be it a positive affirmation, I love you, I'm proud of you, you know, you fill my tank, mm-hmm. say it. But also, if you have someone that you've had difficulty with or a dispute with, and there's something left in that relationship unresolved, talk about it. Reach out. Don't leave it unsaid.
Yeah. Unfinished business has been a good topic.
Yeah. I think it's important to, like, you only have a limited amount of time. And if you don't, like, pause in midlife and see where you are and take stock of where you're going and then take direction of your life, you're going to have regrets later. And
right.
Really, we shouldn't leave this life with regrets.
No. And if it wasn't for this undone piece of me wanting to do more, well, both of us, but wanting me to do more, I would not have the opportunity to talk these things out, because this, I'm not going to have coffee for an hour with somebody and have, like, think this deeply in conversation, right? So that piece that's undone that I feel I can do more, it's also for myself. Like, we want to take care of ourselves as well. And so an undone piece that's being done now is me feeling like I'm doing more, not just for others, but for myself.
Yeah. And that's
important. These are good conversations. And I hope other people will be able to have the same conversations with their friends as I am able to have with you.
We have a fantastic third member of our team, which is our producer, Elizabeth. And she gets to listen in on all of our conversations. So I'm just curious, Elizabeth, based on this conversation today, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a few questions here.
Let me hold on tight.
Okay. First question, do you believe closure is real or just something we learn to live without?
I think part of the problem with seeking closure and the emphasis, and it's really sort of a more contemporary view of things, right? Because in ages past, I don't think people ever knew the word closure. It's this sense that things can be resolved in a positive way. And I think actually that's just not real. Sometimes things cannot be resolved. You may have an attempt at closure and somebody may say something that feels like closure, but I think sometimes that's actually an illusion. And I think we become stronger and more resilient, and we've talked about resilience, if we just learn to accept that life isn't pretty. It doesn't always wrap itself up in a bow for us. Sometimes you just have to take what's there and learn to live with it.
And for me, I think it's a little bit of both with closure. And I think it's perspective. I think a lot of it is somebody's individual perspective, where that's enough for them to be able to close it out or not. And I think that with closure, it might be for one side and not for the other. So I don't know that it's ever complete for both parties. But I think perspective can actually allow us to accept whatever that is, either type of closure, and move on.
When you think about the phrase unlived, undone, does it conjure a person, a place, or a memory for you?
I think for me, the one thing that comes to mind is my dad, because there's a tremendous amount of regret when I look back at his life and all the things that were unlived and undone for him. I mean, he died at 58 and he missed a lot. And I think that has always been in the back of my mind as I've lived my life, particularly once I reached that age myself, in terms of, like, I have to make the most of this because he couldn't.
I think it conjures more of possible memories to me that I might not be able to have. It's more about the emotion and the emotion from experiences and the connection and the relationships to me. So it's definitely not a place, at all. Somewhat it is people and persons, but it's more of leaving or unliving things that I think that I would enjoy and that would fill up my soul and somebody else's. I feel like if I'm truly living the emotions and the experiences that I feel make me whole, there also is a trickle effect to those people that I love, that I want to support and nurture and be there for.
What kind of feedback have you received about the podcast?
You know, actually, the best feedback I've gotten, which really sort of filled my soul, is that I have a good friend that I used to work with, and she's at a much earlier stage of the midlife experience. She's a young mom, working mom, and I've been there. And we used to spend a lot of time talking through like the balance of work and kids and life and marriage. And she has since moved on. And I'm retired. I don't work anymore. And she reached out to me recently about one of our episodes and said, like, I love listening to you because it's like you're still there to mentor me through this time. And I just love that. I love to feel like through the podcast, I'm staying connected to someone who meant something to me and who I meant something to. That's really rewarding.
Mainly, well, all positive. There was one early on that was, didn't feel like we reached the whole audience, but just great positive. I have stories of people that have called or have sent me an email where they're actually pushing themselves for personal growth. This weekend, I received a call from a friend who had been in Fort Royal just a month or so after her husband has passed away. And she was listening to the spirituality episode. And she said that she got so much from it. And it was so helpful in the healing piece to think of spirituality, not just in the religious and godly sense, but in the sense of her whole being and being able to move forward in a positive way and taking what's important to her from that loss and being able to move forward.
How has doing the podcast changed you?
You know, I don't know that it's changed me, but it's allowed me to live in those quiet corners of myself and bring those pieces of me out and live more whole. So I'm exploring pieces of myself that have all, I think, always been there, but they are coming to life in a way that that wasn't there before.
You know, when my kids were young, I used to always love the Nike slogan, just do it, right? And I used to say, just do it, just do it. And I guess I didn't realize until we started doing this podcast that there's a lot of things that I wasn't doing that I would think about or talk about and have aspirations to do. This podcast has encouraged me to just do it. Marianne did a really nice little clip about this, but one of the things I did is I got up at the moth and I told a story. Yay! So it's really encouraged me to actually live what I thought was my reality, but really wasn't.
And you are going for it.
I'm trying.
Me too.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.